a party.
Archive blogs, track the activity of Nicole's favorite alien stalker, and as always, check out the critically acclaimed MindCemetery.com blog, where you can get information on upcoming shows, information on past shows, and plenty of interesting nuggets and tidbits that are blogged about throughout the week. The phone lines are open for anyone in calling in and joining our discussion tonight. Our number is 1-504-273-7379.
Joe!
Oh, we're on, huh?
We are.
Yes, fantastic. Thank you for joining us again Monday night, everybody, at 9 o'clock, the Mind Cemetery. There's no other better place to be after Jerry Pippin, that is. No. So, listen to him before us, and then flip over here and do yourself a favor. I'm just saying. Right?
I don't really get your jokes.
You don't even know who Jerry Pippin
no.
is, do you?
Who is this Mr. Pippin? Who is this Mr. Pippin, and what does he bring to the table that I care about?
He brings a cornucopia of knowledge and a lot of experience.
Chip, using four-syllable words. Ooh.
Yeah.
Big five syllables. Sorry.
Cornucopia? You're counting syllables now.
I am. I don't know who he is, Chip, but I will go on your word that he is an awesome, amazing, wonderful man.
He's a beautiful man, and we should put a blonde wig and some sunglasses on him. If anybody is in the Chicago area and remembers Sunday night after the Bears games, they used to have Steve McMichael on, and he was a defensive lineman for the Bears for a long time, and every week he would give out a man award, and the Beautiful Man Award, they showed a picture of Steve wearing a blonde wig, looking like a woman wearing sunglasses.
Why? I don't really get this joke.
it wasn't, you know, it's funny. It's supposed to be funny. He's holding like a little chihuahua, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. That's
the Beautiful Man
real.
Award. And I'm handing it out to Jerry Pippin.
You've killed our show before it began. Good job.
Oh, it only applies to like 8,000 Bear fans, and you know, probably
none of whom are listening to this show.
8 million, I mean. Bear.
They're all busy eating sausage.
8,000, and having heart attacks.
Oh,
but
drinking,
they have
drinking
nice
beer, stash. beers,
and stashes.
Yes. All right. So what do we got going on tonight?
Tonight we have our guest Lori Chapman, who is a paranormal investigator who specializes in hostile haunts. But that is not all, folks, because there's a lot going on with her and her website, the PinellasPascoParanormal.com.
That's a tongue twister.
Don't say it too quickly. Yes, and hopefully I pronounced it correct. And maybe she'll even correct me on that. Lori, are you there?
Yes, I am. No, you actually did that right. You did Pinellas Pasco right, but you said my name wrong. My name is Champion, not Chapman.
Champion? I kept putting Champion. The H in there like an idiot.
Yeah, you called me Chapman.
Oh, my God.
He likes it. That's my boss's last name, so, you know, he mixes it.
Oh, name. Okay.
He only has capacity for one last name at a time.
Oh, okay.
In with the new, out with the old is what I try to do. There's only an infinite number of spaces and brain cells.
A finite number is what you meant. Finite.
Okay, well, there we go. I'm proving my point yet again. He's a rambling, stammering, bumbling idiot, folks.
All right, well, let's let our guest talk, because no one cares about Chip. So, tell us about this tongue-twisting website. What does this have to offer?
Okay, my website is not like most other websites. I'm not a ghost hunter, Nicole. I'm a hostile haunts resolutionist. I've been doing it for 34 years, actually almost 35 now. And I help people with hostile hauntings. And the website is provide information, actual useful information about hauntings rather than just a bunch of ghost pictures and, you know, other stuff that everybody puts up there. I mean, we have some pictures, but I'm not one for photographs. I try to provide as much information as I can. We even have a psychologist that works with some of our people who've been through intense things to help them with paranormal trauma, paranormal trauma is actually beginning to be recognized by the mental health community for the first time ever here in Florida, and I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, that was one of the topics I saw at the top of your page there. And
This lady, this friend of mine, the psychologist, she's actually pioneering that movement. She contacted me a long time ago because she was going to do a big thesis to submit to the board about paranormal trauma, saying that it is real and people do suffer paranormal trauma and it needs to be addressed. And I was just so thrilled, you know, when she called me and she wanted to talk to me about it because she sees, you know, I've been at it for a long time. I'm a hostile haunt specialist. And she figured if anybody knows about it, I would. And we had a lot of really good talks about it, and she's really helped some of my clients. She's a super lady.
And you've been doing this for 34 years, right?
Yeah, almost 35 now. I'm an old broad. I'm getting up there.
Is this something that you started or?
No. What happened was, as a child, I lived with my mother and my grandmother. We moved from Weehawken, New Jersey, to Union City, New Jersey. And they had bought a house there, you know. And they got a good deal on it because the house was as old as dirt. And it was a two-story house with a full basement. And my mother had been very sick. She had cancer. And she couldn't go up and down the stairs, you know. So I was stuck with the laundry duty because in New Jersey, you know, it gets really cold in the winter. And we didn't have a dryer. We hung our clothes on the line back in the day, you know. And the clothes would freeze. So we had to hang them in the basement. So we had wash lines in the basement, right?
Yeah.
And I was stuck with this laundry detail because Grandma was too old to keep making the stairs and my mother couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So from the time I was 8 years old, you know, that was my job. And when we first moved there, it was about the third time, I guess, I went down to hang the laundry in the basement. Actually, I didn't go to hang it. I went to take it down. I saw this lady in the basement who scared the crap out of me. One scary-looking girl. And I came upstairs, and I told my grandma, who lived on the first floor, and she said, oh, come on. You know, you got scared. It's dark, whatever. It's okay.
Yeah.
There's nobody down there. So I went back downstairs, and I started taking the sheets down. And I was little, you know, I was real short. So I'm reaching up high to take the sheets. And as I pulled the sheet off the line on the other side and scared the daylights out of me, and before I knew what happened, I was being rolled up in the sheet like a taco. And then something picked me up till I was like horizontal, and they just dropped me onto the blue stone floor. I got hurt pretty bad.
How high off the ground were you?
Probably about 5 feet off the ground.
Wow.
And my grandmother came because she heard me screaming. And she came. It took her a little while to get down the stairs. I was fighting with the sheet, trying to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks and she says, what happened? And when I told her, she didn't believe me until she looked at me. When I came out, you know, they got the sheet off of me. I had some bruises that came up the next day. You wouldn't even believe. That was the first assault. It was one of many. It was one of years' worth of assaults. And we, you know, we did everything. We called everybody. Back in those days, there was nobody like me to call. You called the priest. You called the minister. You called whoever, you know.
Yeah.
And they came in, and they bless the house, and they do all this. But with a human ghost, it's really not going to do much good. So it was a long, horrible, horrible haul. By the time I was 14, I took my last fall down the stairs. I was going down the stairs in the pitch dark because there was a switch at the top of the stairs so you could turn the lights on. But the lights downstairs had pull chains.
Yep.
And if somebody pulled the chain downstairs, the switch was useless. So if somebody had pulled the chain, of course, did this routine before.
Yep.
I started down the stairs in the dark. Like I said, I was about 14. I got halfway down the stairs and I stepped into a metal colander. The old-fashioned colanders that had the little metal feet. And I went down the whole flight of stairs. When I reached the bottom for the first time, I was hurting, but I wasn't scared anymore. I don't know, maybe it was teenage hormones. I was furious. I just went ballistic. I got up, I ran into the middle of the basement in the pitch dark, and I started screaming and yelling and just telling her how much I was over it and how she wasn't going to hurt me anymore, how I wasn't afraid of her. You know, I was crazy. I had been tormented so much, you know.
Yeah.
And I finally had had enough. After four trips to the emergency room, I was done. I said, okay, you know what? Nobody can help us, obviously. I've got to face this. And I did, and then I did research on the house. Before long, I had a old tape recorder, the old cassette recorders, the monsters that look like the size of a shoebox.
Yeah. Oh,
I recorded my first EVP in 1974. And I talked to that lady for a year, and I finally made peace with her. Finally. And she stopped attacking me, and she told me the first and last name of the man I would marry. Several years later, that I didn't even know at the time. So, you know, it ended well, but it was the nightmare of my life. The worst nightmare ever. And I decided, you know, that I was going to help other people with that, because no child should ever have to live with that kind of terror. Ever.
That's wild. Now, how...
It was.
Have you ever heard of anyone getting an EVP before 1974? Because I'm kind of wondering the overall history of that.
I've done a lot of research on that. There was a man named Renaud who was doing EVPs long before that. And, in fact, the first EVP, I think, was done in 1948.
Wow.
They've been going on for a long time. Renaud is one of the pioneers, though, with EVP. That's where I got the idea, because I started reading everything I could get my hands on. You know, I was determined to communicate with this woman, and I wasn't going to trust the Ouija board or anything else, because there's no proof that, you know, you're talking to that person or anyone at all, so. And I didn't want to invite anything else in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I spoke to her, and then I did a lot of research on the house. I found out that the house was very old, I had even thought. The second story was added later on. That's why she never went upstairs. She was always in the basement or on the ground floor.
Because the second floor was old, was new to her. And
yeah, it didn't exist during her day. The second story was added on like 40 years after the house was built. So it was quite interesting. And I can see, in learning what happened to her, I can understand why she was as upset as she was. But really? Beating up a little kid? Come on.
Hmm. See, now, what I'm wondering is, what do you think triggered her activity in the house? Do you think it was the addition of the second floor?
Nope.
The disruption of everything that triggered it?
Nope. I believe that house was haunted before we bought it. I think the people knew it. And I think that's why my mother and my grandmother got an incredible deal on that house.
Yeah.
They paid probably about half what that house was worth.
Jigs
up, it needed some work, but not that much.
Yeah.
You know, they should have questioned it immediately. Well, what's the catch? We didn't find out until it was too late. And then, of course, you know, they tried to contact people we bought the house from. They wouldn't answer our calls. Couldn't find them. They left the state. Vanished mysteriously.
Oh, the old owners.
Yep.
Hit the town running, that's for sure. Took their money and ran.
Right on.
Were they?
And we were lost in the ghost.
Were they they weren't the original family?
No.
Okay.
No, the original, that house was 150 years old.
Yikes.
They were not the original owners. At one time, the basement in the house was a wine cellar. A man who had come there originally from Italy was a winemaker.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was pretty cool. There was still, in the basement, you know those things, I guess it's called a wine rack, you know, the things they make to put the wine bottles in?
Yes.
There were still old wine racks in this one room in the back of the basement. It was really cool.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Nice. Was the
but anyway, that's
the foundation.
Why I got into this. That's why I got into this. It was kind of a calling.
Nice. Well, I mean, when you have experiences like that happen to you at a young age, it does tend to form
Plus,
you into a certain direction.
I didn't even know it. I was sensitive to that kind of stuff, and I think she realized that, and she's like, this kid can see me.
Yeah.
This kid can hear me. I'm going to mess with her.
This is the
one. You know? And then later on, she figured out, wait a minute, I can talk to this girl. Maybe I should stop beating her up and, you know, talk to her. And that's basically what, you know, how it ended up.
So you're also a sensitive, intuitive...
To a degree, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I don't care. I don't know what you call it. I tell people I'm hypersentient.
There you go. Yeah,
I hate all the monikers, you know.
Yeah.
I don't... Are you a medium? No. Yeah, psychic, no. I can do photo readings. I can do a lot of weird stuff, but...
There you go.
You know, I'm just me.
Yeah, I don't really mind people that have been able to put a finger on what they want to call it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mind that so much. It's just hard to describe, to put it into words to layman, I think, you know, to try to describe the ways that you're intuitive, the ways, you know, you feel about other people, you know, other than just saying,
well, nowadays too, nowadays, Chip, everybody's making that claim. There's so many people out there making the claim. I mean, just go on Facebook. There's 3,000 mediums, you know.
Oh, God.
Suddenly.
I don't know if I want to sift through that.
No. I'm just saying everybody and their brother and sister now is making that claim since the New Age movement. So I don't want to be lumped in with all the Miss Cleos and all, you know, that's crazy.
Well, Miss Cleo made a nice little dime.
You know, right, at everybody's expense.
Well, it's always at somebody's expense, right?
Money,
right?
Yep.
But, yeah, it's hard to, and it is definitely hard to describe anything like that. Especially if you're on the edge, I would call it, you know, of actually having an ability. Because the way I like to tell people is that it's, you know, best results come from the least effort.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
It either happens or it doesn't, and it comes in flashes and goes. And
that's right.
I've told the guy before that we've had on the show, I did a... you know, quick remote viewing thing with him. I was like, hang on a second, you know, and I tried to describe the room that he was sitting in, you know, and I got like four things right, and I was like, you know what, that's it. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead, you know.
Do you know what happened last year that was the coolest thing in the world? And this is funny because this happened on Facebook. I was talking to a man on Facebook who is a remote viewer. He used to do the remote viewing project for the government.
Nice.
And he befriended me because he liked my website and he found me on Facebook. And we were chatting. You know how you do a little chat thing.
Sure.
And I had a spirit. This is my best friend who passed away. He used to do this with me and he still does. He's our liaison on the other side. And he's literally standing behind me reading, you know, the comments as we're going along and putting his 2 cents in. And all of a sudden this man writes to me back. He writes out of nowhere and he says, listen, there's a young man with blonde hair and blue eyes standing over your left shoulder. He says, tell him, you know, if he wants to talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to him. It was awesome. Awesome. We had a 3-way conversation over the computer that was just incredible. This guy was good, Chip.
Nice.
He was darn good.
Just out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. And the attraction, my friend, the one that passed, his name is Sam. His attraction was he was an ex-Navy man, and this man is an ex-Navy guy.
Brought it out in him.
So, you know, he saw him as his comrade.
Yep.
And he was all into it.
And you probably heard Nicole say, oh, my God, there. Quick backstory on Nicole. Paranormal denialist. And that's pretty much it.
She doesn't
believe in any of it, even though...
To each his own. You know what? It's really hard. It really is to ask somebody to believe in something they have never experienced. You know, if you've never experienced it, what do you have to go on?
Yeah. You're right, but she's had experiences, but she denies those even it happened, you know, and tried to whisk those.
Oh, my God, to you guessing 4 things about a room that somebody was sitting in, Chip.
With anyone ever.
You are the furthest thing from psychic ever.
I don't say I'm
I mean, seriously, you don't even know if I'm mad at you. I mean, come on.
No, Nicole, that's part of being a man. That comes natural with the territory.
I may not even care.
The man never knows when the woman's mad, you know.
Well, you'd think, you know, if he's sensitive or whatever, he gets...
You would think so, but, you know, testosterone overrides certain things.
Yeah. I'm just an animal after all. Give me a break.
All right. Well, are we ready to start listening to some of these EVPs? I'm kind of anxious to hear them. We have a treat for our listeners tonight. Lori was kind enough to share some of the EVPs she's captured over her experiences, and in turn is allowing us to share them with you.
And I think, Nicole, you have the list of them, right? Somewhere?
Yeah, maybe.
Preferably?
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you dig up that email.
No, I got it. I got it. I got it.
She's got it.
There we go. Yeah, you're the tech expert here.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm the rambling
monk. I was reading about this thing that's going on.
Oh, the thing.
Uh-huh.
You got a thing.
Anonymous is flipping out on Activision because of the pilot for Black Ops 2, or the trailer for Black Ops 2.
Good, I thought we weren't going to talk about them.
Sorry. Anyway, so, Joe, if you're out there, we would like to hear Gina's evil and you can't hunt her out. First one. Sweet Jay. And while Joe queues up that clip, do you know the one that I'm talking about, Lori?
Yes, I do. The Sweet Jay for Sweet Jasmine. It's the name of a road, okay?
Okay.
I give all my cases that only I know. And we went out to this place because these people had leased this house. This is a mansion, Nicole, a beautiful mansion. And they were being attacked in the home. And you know those cages you put the dog in? I'm not talking a dog crate. I'm talking the big metal crate. It's like a giant cage you put your dog in when you go out or whatever. People do that.
Yeah.
This thing picked up that cage and fired it across the room so hard that it put a hole in the wall. This was a very powerful, powerful haunting. So the man had a daughter who was being kind of the focus of this, and he was really upset. And he asked us to come out there and see if we could help. And boy, oh boy, you want to talk about a mean female. There was another male spirit there who actually warned us. He was trying to tell us, and he says, Gina is evil, and you will not hunt her out.
Mm.
And then we had lots of responses from Gina herself, who was not very nice.
Hmm.
Okay, here comes EVP.
And he was right. He was right. That was one of the cases that we lost. And I told them in the end, look, you know, you want out of this, you're going to have to move. And their lease was coming up. So instead of buying the place, they left.
Ooh. And was that in New Jersey or West Virginia?
No,
or?
That's in Florida.
Oh, in
that
Florida.
Was in Safety Harbor, Florida.
Mm.
And it's a very, very bad, bad situation.
How many times did you get access to that site?
Twice. We went out there twice, and we had one of my team members, we had a memory card. You know the little memory card goes in the camera? Well, her camera batteries died, so she took her memory card out, and she was going to give it to me to put in my camera so we could look at the photos. We're outside. There's a tape recorder running the whole time, and she goes to hand me the memory card, and something or someone hit the bottom of her hand. To knock it up in the air out of her hand, and he fell in the grass. So now the two of us are on the ground in the dark with a flashlight, sifting through the grass trying to find the memory card. And we were laughing because there was this little pile of dog poop that we almost put our hands in. We saw it in time, but it was funny. Come on, you know, you have those moments on the investigation where you just crack up. So we're laughing, and on the tape recorder you hear Miss Gina, and she says, "They're hysterical. Oh, no." We laughed so hard when we heard that EVP. Like, in other words, she couldn't believe we were laughing. We were supposed to be scared.
Yeah.
You know, she said they're in hysterics. They're in hysterics. Oh, no. With that exact accent. Oh, no. It was hilarious. We did get the memory card.
Nice. Minus the poop.
Okay,
but it was little things like that through the whole case, constantly.
The next
and then there's a swimming pool out there, And it was in the wintertime in the pool, you know, it's of course cold. And on the tape recorder, she was telling us to come to the swimming pool. She was saying, come to the pool. Go for a swim. I'm thinking, yeah, you want to drown us in the pool? Sure. Really mean lady.
Okay, it looks like what we have up next here is the Four Terrace. You smell like a virgin.
Oh, this one is really off the chain. I hope they can hear this one over the air.
Go ahead, Joe, whenever you're ready.
Years. The terrace case, we spent 6 weeks working that haunt, and we were in the living room, and one of my team members, who was young at the time, about 20, 21, something like that, was standing there, and there were four of the people in the room, and we heard a creepy, horrible voice talk out loud, and we couldn't make it out, but the tape was running, and that crew member turned to me and said, that voice was in my ear, right in my ear, right next to me. So we played it back. Now, what's amazing is the EVP you didn't get to hear, the one before that, says, I gotta eat. That's exactly what it says, I gotta eat. The next one is, you smell like a virgin. That particular crew member was actually a virgin. None of us knew that. Nobody on the team knew that. They're very religious, you know.
Wow.
And the person was freaked out because the spirit knew that. Can you imagine how creepy that was?
Yikes.
Yeah, horrible.
That's going to give us some
On that same case, the other spirits in other EVPs were referring to something as, quote, it. It's watching. It's coming. It's here. I think that was it. Now, that begs the question, you know, I never like to hear that on a case. There's an it? Oh, that's not good. You know?
Really?
Yeah. So that case was quite intense.
We'll have to ask you about what it is later on here in the show.
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
Mm.
So, I have been chastised for front-loading, apparently.
Yes.
So, I'm not going to tell you the name of the one. We're just going to listen to it, and then I'll tell you the name of the file, okay? Joe knows which one he needs to play. So, Joe, go ahead and play our next one when you're ready.
Do you know? You know why I brought that?
Uh-huh.
Just for the novelty of it. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
That is actually the spirit of a pirate. If you notice, he says, "Arg, arg, chick's gonna show me." We were working a horrible, horrible haunting in Sea Pines. It was an infestation. It's just this area. There's so many spirits. And this pirate was there, okay? And he was talking to us off and on all night. But I had gone outside, and my daughter was inside the screen porch by the door. And I saw something, and I went out there to go after it. And then she saw something behind me, something different. And she said, Mom, I mean, she came tearing out there. And she says, don't go out here by yourself, you know, something behind you. And I said, I don't care. I said, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, talk to us. Let's do it, whatever. And he turns around and says, our chick's going to show me. He was quite amusing all night.
Wow.
All night. He totally amused us. There were a lot of spirits there, but he was definitely the most entertaining.
All right, Joe, next one when you're ready.
I want to know if you can play the piano for us. A couple notes, that'd be great. Front door. Thank you. I want to know if you can play the piano for us. A couple notes, that'd be great. Front door. Thank you.
Okay. That one is hard to make out.
Yeah.
That's one of my team members. We had gone to a case in Golden Acres, Florida. And it was a British family. They had come over from England, and they'd bought this mansion. And they brought a lot of stuff. They used to own a hotel in England. And they brought a lot of stuff with them from the hotel, old stuff. And they had a piano. And their son played piano, so they brought it, you know. Well, when we were there, we were all sitting in the living room doing an EVP sitting, and the piano kept going off 2 rooms away. And I said, what is that? And they said, it's a piano. They said, that happens. I said, okay, I want to see this piano. So I went in and I looked, because I was expecting a player piano malfunctioning or an electric piano malfunctioning, right? It's a normal piano. And I looked at it, and I couldn't find any wires, nothing. So I said to one of my team members, I said, do me a favor, take this tape recorder, sit in here. And I sent 2 girls in there. Ask the spirit to play the piano. Ask him specifically to play, like, 2 notes and see what happens. And they did, and that's exactly what she's saying. If you could play the piano for us, just a couple of notes.
Mm-hmm.
And a little while goes by, and you hear, ding, ding. They were there. They saw the keys go down. It was the most amazing experience ever.
So that right there, to me, is the exact next level of paranormal investigation that needs to happen, those kind of things. You need to
exactly
be able to have them understand,
and that is so rare.
Intelligently respond.
You know how rare that particular thing is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not rare to have an intelligent response. We get those all the time. But to have a physical response like that and to be able to see those keys go down and know that something physically pushed those keys on command.
Mm-hmm.
That is just, what a head trip.
And we'll go back and review a couple of these, because I do have some questions on a couple of them.
Cool.
I just want to get through the list here.
Okay, honey.
Because our good producer, Joe, is standing by very attentively for us. So, Joe, when you're ready, go for the next one. Who is that?
Get out of this house. I amped that up so you could hear it on the air. It was loud to begin with, but I amped it some more.
That was like dark.
Oh, yeah. Actually, do you know what that is? You're going to laugh. I went to a case in Hudson. And believe it or not, this whole case, this subdivision where I went, they built the subdivision on top of an old cemetery, an old African-American cemetery. The people that moved into the house had some race issues because their son had been killed by a black police officer, okay? So now you take people who already have race issues, move them into a house where there are some very disgruntled African-American spirits.
Mm.
And what do you think is going to happen?
Nothing good.
Yes. And that whole haunting was all about race issues, believe it or not, and old, you know, grudges and what have you. And that's all it was. But, I mean, to listen to that voice, because the voice is distorted, you know, it sounds like someone from the bowels of hell. But in reality, it's just a male spirit who basically didn't want us there and didn't want those people there.
All right, Joe, the next one, when you're ready.
Jane. You know, when it's playing, we don't know there's an EVP coming in.
Sure.
We were doing something else at the time. And I had just asked a whole bunch of questions, and the lady who's speaking there has a very pronounced New York accent. And she says, you know, are we censored? Can you say curse words on a show?
So she says,
she says, F off with the questions, will you?
Yeah.
And she says it with that, you know, F off with the questions, will you? With a very distinct New York accent.
Yeah.
When we heard that, we laughed so hard. And the lady who's speaking is actually the great aunt of the woman who was having the haunting. And the reason she was mad is because the woman had sold her mother's jewelry.
Ooh.
And they were supposed to keep it in the family. That's what the whole haunting was about. You don't sell grandma's jewelry, okay?
Right,
I'll never understand
like
why people want to do that anyway with their family.
Well, you know, people are in very bad financial times right now, Chip.
What's that?
And sometimes, and people are having a very rough financial way to go right now.
Yeah.
And in desperate times, you know, you do desperate things.
That's true.
All right, Joe, go ahead and go for the next one.
Just coming in.
Oh, wow.
That sounded like he was saying, I love you.
It's saying, I want you. And it doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean it in a romantic way. That is my spirit stalker. I picked up this spirit in Antelope many years ago, and I really ticked him off because I ran him out of five houses consecutively. He would come to one, and then I'd run him out, and he'd go to the next one. He got really mad, and he started coming to haunt me in person. And he would hang out and look in my windows, and just I would ignore him. And then when I would go to a case locally here, he would conveniently show up to threaten me, to say things, and he sounds, like, so messed up, the way he talks. I want you, you know. I mean, how are you going to be afraid of someone who sounds like that? Really.
That's right.
And we are getting some questions in from the chat room on this one.
Cool.
I'm going to address your question after we get through all the EVPs, but
I'll answer everybody's questions.
Yeah. Okay. Joe, go for the next one when you're ready.
I don't even know what that one said, but it sounded.
I don't even know what that one said, and it's mine. Are you sure that's mine?
Yes. That was E3.
It says, that's all it says is E3?
It says, E3, I paid my dead time, you never.
Okay. All right, now I know what that is. It's not coming through very clear at all over the air. It doesn't even sound like it should sound. That's why I recognize it, because that's actually supposed to be a woman. It sounds like a man over the air.
Yeah.
It's a woman, and she's saying, this EVP, to me, is the most priceless thing. Because it's one of those things that just gets your wheels turning. She's talking to another spirit. We were talking to two of them, and one of them kept wanting to have the floor. And she says, I paid my dead time. You? Never. What does that mean? I mean, just think of all the questions that puts in your head. I paid my dead time? That, you know, I could just speculate on that for days. I did.
All right, Joe, go ahead and hit us with our next one.
No, that's the singing ghost. What he's doing, what he's actually singing is Papa Lo Mayora. And then he goes, Papa Lo Mayora, This man that's singing actually was the man who owned the house before. He was from the Ukraine, and we did a lot of research on Papa Lo Mayora. So I wanted to know what that meant. And it turns out that Papa Lo Mayora means the Pope is the majority. Now, this particular man is a very religious person, and he decided to stick around. And when his wife rented out the house and moved out, he didn't like it. What he didn't like even more was that the people who moved in there were not really religious people, okay? And he was kind of confronted by that. So he was kind of giving everybody a hard time. But he was not a bad guy or a bad spirit. He was actually very entertaining. You know, once we figured out what the problem was.
Cool. A singing ghost.
Yeah. He's singing.
Cool. All right, Joe, go ahead. Interesting. I don't know why that one reminded me of, like, a British accent.
Yeah.
It might be. I'm trying to think of what that is right now, because over the air I'm having trouble hearing it.
Oh, it says Plum Good Luck, ha ha ha.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Plum is the name of the case. It was on Plum Street. And he's saying, what he's saying is, he does have a British accent, actually. And he says, good luck. He was trying to let us know that, you know, we didn't have a Chinese chance of getting him out of there.
Cool. And, you know, I just got another question in here. The good thing is, guys, we have the whole second hour to go over all these questions.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I'm getting a bunch here, too. And Joe, go ahead and play our last EVP for us.
Did pass away in this house. What year was it? Did pass away in this house. What year was it? Did pass away in this house. What year was it?
Was it, that sounded like a little girl or something to me.
Yeah, I can't make that out over the air either. I can hear somebody saying something about what year, but I can't make out anything else.
There's a gentleman that says, in what year did you pass or whatever, and anyway, the name of your file is VB Response in the River You Will Find Me.
Oh, okay, I remember that case. The case came from Elfers, Florida, and these people had bought this property, and it had a really nice manufactured home on it that was not very old, and yet they were being haunted. And we found that there were quite a few spirits there, and they live very close to the river. And there's more than that. She said, in the river you will find me. But there were also other comments like, I'm in a box. I'm in a box. I'm in the river. There was somebody, I guess, that had been murdered and dumped in the river in a box. And
cool.
They were very eager to let us know that.
Well, now that we're done, and we did hurry through those pretty quickly, I don't like keeping Joe on a leash.
No.
Which one would you say is the most, I guess, what I'm trying to equate here, I mean, these things don't resonate too well with me, but I know when Chip has described them, you know, they're a little bit chilling for him. Like, he'll actually get a little bit tingly. So, out of all these, which produced, like, the strongest emotional response for you when you listen to them the first time?
For me, I'm kind of an odd bird, Nicole. I don't get freaked out by EVPs even when they sound creepy. Because I know how voice distortion takes place with EVP, and I know how it could be someone totally innocuous. It sounds like they came from the bowels of hell. But out of all those EVPs, the one that really bothered me was the one that said, you smell like a virgin. And that's because beforehand he said, I got to eat. And that particular voice was so loud, and it was so nasty, okay? Just nasty. I mean, just listen to that. That one really upset me for several reasons. Number one, I did not like the fact that we could hear it with our ears and that thing was that close to one of my team members. And what they were doing was they were basically going for the weakest link in the chain because this was the youngest person, the person who they thought they could intimidate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that particular case kind of had us really on our toes because that was the case where they were talking about it. The spirits were referring to it. But, you know, sometimes things are not as they appear. We thought that this was this terrible, horrific haunting and that it was probably something very evil. Well, it didn't turn out that way at all. It turned out to be an elemental spirit, and one of the reasons that these people were being haunted was because the man that lived there, he was one of these great white hunters. He was a sports hunter. He would go out and shoot everything and anything that moved and then mount it on the wall, you know?
Right.
Well, Nicole, he had like 14 deer alone mounted on the walls.
Yikes.
And other animals galore. The house was like a museum.
Yeah.
You know? And this guy, he, you know, he was a good old boy who basically didn't have any real regard for the animals he killed. He wasn't killing to eat. He was killing for sport. Okay? Well, he killed a 10-point buck. And as soon as he killed that 10-point buck, all hell broke loose. And he was told not to kill that buck. It was on somebody else's property. The guy even told him, you can hunt here, but do not kill that 10-point buck. Well, he couldn't stand it. He had to have it. He killed that 10-point buck. And I'm not going to go into it because it's a long story. It has to do with animal elemental spirits and mastika stones and everything else. It would take 2 hours to go through it. That this haunting was justified. It was totally justified. You know, we think we get away with things in life, but you can only push the envelope so far. And eventually, you know...
Eventually you mess with the wrong guy. Or entity. Or thing.
Yes. Karma comes back to bite you in the butt.
Perspective always is something... It always comes into play here. You know, somebody in our chat room posted as a joke, you don't tell a hunter to not kill a 10-point buck. Right? And, you know, they said lol, and it was just a joke. But it makes me think, like, I'm probably, like, the anti-PETA person, if there ever was one. You know, I, frankly, like, if I could install, like, a tent over my house and kill everything that was alive except my family, I'd be so much better. But
mainly exterminating bugs.
Bugs, lizards. Small cats, I hate it all.
I feel very bad for you. You should be saying one of the best things in life is your interaction with animals. I'm not saying insects, you know. Nobody likes insects, come on. But realistically, you know, animals are just like we are. They have souls, they have feelings. They mourn, they cry.
I just want to kind of acknowledge the power of perspective, you know, because in your story I could tell, you know, you have some sentiment or at least some emotional capacity for animals, you know.
Yeah, because I don't see any point in senseless killing of animals for our entertainment our trophies.
And I'm not here to argue or sway you or whatever. I respect other people's perspectives and their unique views, and I will be myself and you be yourself, and we're good.
Exactly.
But when it plays into that, I guess what makes me struggle with the paranormal community sometimes is the influence that perspective has on the outcome of a story, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because as you were telling it, you implied a certain care for animals. And
well, there was a lot more to that story. We actually had EVPs and things to back up the outcome of that story.
Right.
I had a male spirit there, an old man. Very nice guy, by the way. And I asked him at one point, I said to him, can you tell me what is this about? What is this whole haunting about? What brought this on? Can you give me anything? Can you give me a clue? And he was mumbling, and I couldn't understand. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not understanding you. If they could find a way to get it across to me, something I can hear and understand on the tape recorder as well as, you know, whatever. And you know what he did? He sang a song. Music carries on the airway very different from voice. Music, for some reason, it comes through clearer. I don't know if it's just the tones or the octaves or what. But it will carry really strong, and it will be able to be recorded when a person sings, spirit sings. He sang the song, Home, Home on the Range, where the deer and the antelope play. Now, if you look around the house, and you see all the deer heads on the wall, and the antelopes on the wall, and the pigs on the wall, and the alligator on the wall, and every other conceivable stuffed item you can think of, that answer made total sense. That's what set us on the right track. And then there were many remarks after that, many, many. There was not just one spirit there, honey. There were 13 spirits there, in addition to this elemental. It was some serious, serious stuff. You know?
Now, one quick question here before we got to go to break. It looks like we're about 3 minutes out. Jim had asked me when you were talking about the singing EVP. What did those words mean? The words to the song that he was saying?
Oh, Papalo Mayor?
Yeah.
The only thing we were able to figure out is if you trace it to the Latin, it means Papalo Mayor means the Pope is the majority. Now, this man was a Catholic from the Ukraine, okay? So I guess it was some song that he used to sing in the Ukraine. I don't know. But the message was basically about religion, you know. The Pope is the majority, like the majority of people are Catholic. I don't know what to make of that. But I know that there was religion tied up in it.
Interesting. Well, and of course, my retort when she asked that question in the chat room was, in Soviet Russia, EVP records you. And, ba-bum-bump. No? Okay.
I'm sorry, wait, I didn't understand what you said. I missed everything. Russia.
it's an old Yakov Smirnov joke.
Oh.
I said, in Soviet Russia, EVP records you. It's just...
It's classic fun bad, all right. We call it fun bad.
All right.
Very good. All right, so I think we are running up right against her break, our break here, and I'm sure Chip is chomping at the bit to dig into some more of these EVPs with you and get some more of your backstories.
So.
I did tell you to shut up because I told you I was trying to get through them so that we could, you know, get release Joe, because I always feel bad when I'm sequestering him to us.
Yeah.
Like I'm hogging him. And, you know, I know you were anxious, Chip, because I could feel it. Like, I'm a floor up from him right now. He's downstairs, and I could feel like, oh, my God, I want to ask questions about this, because he loves EVPs. Like, he loves them.
You could psychically feel that.
Yes.
If she believed in such a thing.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. But, if that happened, then, you know, it could be.
Yeah.
That or I know my husband pretty well, and this man loves
me. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, write it off. I know.
Very good.
I know my husband, too. I totally understand that, Nicole.
Very good. Well, we'll catch you all back when we get back from break here. What are we out for, Chip? About 10 minutes?
Yeah, something along that.
Oh, good. Long enough for me to get a drink. Awesome.
Exactly. All right. We'll catch you all back at 10.
Here we go.
It makes it easier to play.
Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
System and alien source are approaching from the sky. Radio contact has been attempted but cannot be established. Instructions are to prepare for an attack by an unknown enemy.
Oh.
Are open, and the number is 504-273-7379. You can ask our guests any of your questions or give us feedback. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and visit our website, mindcemetery.com, for shows, news, and blogs.
All right, and we're back, aren't we?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
Maybe.
I had a little switch up because of technical difficulties. My headset wasn't really working too well out of one microphone, so I went and got my earbuds, and I put those in.
This sounds like the most interesting story I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's a human interest piece, and it's more along the lines of overcoming adversity.
For in order to have a human interest piece, humans yes. actually have to be interested.
Well, it just has to be interesting for humans.
Okay.
And everyone can understand.
Again, no one cares about your stupid headset, sorry.
The plight of man versus technology.
Yeah, no. For you, it's Chip versus technology. Chip can't handle technology. By the way, if you guys want an interesting conspiracy theory, did you know that Chip is only known as Chip to his wife, his son, his family, and you, our dear listeners?
True.
In the professional world, and all of his friends do not know him as Chip.
Only a few know me as Chip. I let a couple of them in on it.
I just
some
found
of them
this,
are starting to abuse
found
it.
This out recently when I was at a party with his work associates, and I yelled across the party, "Chip!" And everybody stared at me because I was calling for somebody that didn't exist.
That awkward moment.
Yeah, that awkward moment when you realize your husband is living a double life.
It is
cool.
A double life.
Cool.
You've always
been. Yeah, I look like a fool in front of a bunch of people.
In any case, we are back with our dear guest, Miss Lori Champion.
Yes.
I said the name right.
I was just going to say, she got it right. Okay.
Lori, give us your website again.
Okay. The easiest way to get to my website, because it's a mouthful, just go on the any Google site and put in Hostile Haunt Specialist. We'll be the only one on the list, first one on the page. It'll say home, Pinellas Pasco. Because people have trouble remembering website addresses. That's a lot to ask.
And
just put in Hostile Haunts. That'll get you there.
And before we get back into the EVPs, tell me, you said it's a Hostile Haunt Specialist?
Yes.
Okay.
The name of my group is the Hostile Haunt Specialists. The reason we have the PPP address is because I also had a team called Pinellas Pasco Paranormal, and we, you know, still use the same address and the same website and all that.
Well,
I didn't want to change it because too many people knew how to find me.
There you
talk
go.
To me a little bit about Hostile Haunt Specialists. Why that moniker? What's that about?
Because that's what we do. We don't ghost hunt. You'll never see me or any of my team members at one of these ghost hunts at a old penitentiary or an old hospital. I don't have the need to do that. That's for people who are out there trying to find out if the paranormal is real or for people who have doubts about the existence of spirit.
God.
I don't have those doubts, obviously. So to me, that's just a stupid, sacrilegious thing to do.
Yep.
A lot of people do not share my view, and some people don't like me because of it. But it's just, you know, it's what I do is different from what everybody else does. I go out to help people who are genuinely haunted with a real problem that they feel they're being threatened on a physical, emotional, and everyday level. I don't go out for everybody's bump in the night, you know.
Has it ever happened?
And with the only other cases we take, honey, we also work murder cases. I work with a lawyer. You know, we've done other things like that.
Okay.
Missing people. We do a lot of stuff.
So have you ever found alternative causes of the emotional or physical distress that these people
oh,
are
yes. Oh, yes. Especially nowadays. You know, since the ghost hunting craze came about, people are so much more focused on the paranormal. Everywhere you turn, it's in your face. There's another show coming out every other day. So people are thinking about it more, and they're dwelling upon it more. And a lot of the shows really present it for entertainment value. So they kind of play up the spooky, scary thing, you know?
Yep.
And people, we've kind of been conditioned, especially certain people, depending on their religious beliefs, have been conditioned to believe that spirits are bad, or if they're here, they're up to no good. They're where they're not supposed to be. You know, they're not supposed to communicate with us. They're not supposed to try to interact with us. And that's just not true.
Yeah, that's something that I always...
People are conditioned to fear.
Yeah, exactly. First response is fear, and
yeah, of
it's
course.
Basically out of fear of the unknown, which
exactly.
is hard to control your fear because it's the most, in my
oh,
opinion,
it's the most primal,
the,
it's the most
yeah.
primal reaction we have.
Exactly. You're something. It's like today I was with a coworker, and I said, yeah, I got to do my show tonight. You know, let's hurry this up. Let's get out of here. And he was like, well, what kind of show is it? And I was like, it's, you know, UFO, ghost topic, stuff like that. And he was like, have you ever seen a UFO? And I'm like, yeah. And I was terrified beyond all human comprehension. You know, you know it when you see it. It's like...
I've never seen a UFO, but I can imagine.
Yeah.
And you know what, Chip? That's the one thing I don't want to see. You know, I would rather deal with a demon from hell than an alien from outer space.
Yeah.
I just would.
Nice. There you go. That's a lesser of two evils then for you.
Well, you know darn well that if it really happened, like in the movie Independence Day, our chances of winning would not be all that good.
Never. Yeah,
you know, so I don't even want to think about that event, you know, that possibility.
If you survive, go ahead and get fitted for your collar.
You know, right, thank you. Exactly.
You're down to do a pet in town.
Exactly. That's the one part of the battlefield I didn't really want to be a part of. The gun factors are all either, no part of the UFO thing.
Nope. It's like that old...
Don't want to do it. That's their job.
It's like that old Porno for Pyros song, we'll make great pets, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've got right at my website that we don't do UFOs, but people still call, you know.
Sure.
And the first words out of my mouth were, call MUFON.
Yeah.
I'll give you the number.
Let me help you in that direction, right?
So, Lori, when did you first realize that you were, more sensitive to this kind of experience?
Actually, I didn't for a very long time. When I was a kid, you know, I thought that everybody could see and hear the things I could, you know, and I didn't even realize till after the haunting that I went through, because I thought it was just her, you know what I mean? I thought it was just her. I thought the other people when I was little were like imaginary people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was actually a pretty level-headed kid. I'm still a very rational adult. I don't believe that everything that everybody experiences is a psychic experience, you know? I don't believe that everything we see or think we see is really there. I'm not one of these hokey mediums that comes into the house and goes, oh, there's a ghost over here in this chair and he likes peanut butter. And, you know, that's ridiculous.
The peanut butter.
That is just ridiculous. You know? And also, Nicole had said something earlier about basing your ideas about a case on your personal beliefs. Anyone who knows me really well will tell you I don't do that. In fact, I'm the biggest person to speak out against that. Because a lot of people base a lot of their fear, personal beliefs, religious beliefs, etc.
Yep.
Okay, I'm the last person who's going to do that. In fact, I'm writing another book right now called Bringing the Paranormal Out of the Dark Ages, where a lot of people are going to get very kicked off about exactly what I have to say about that whole deal, you know, with preconceived notions.
And I apologize. I wasn't.
Oh, it's okay. I just wanted to clarify it, sweetheart. I know you didn't mean anything bad by it.
You know, that's a good segue into a question I had for you, especially with the Pinellas Paschal Paranormal and your group there. I know you had a section on here talking about a protocol that you guys go through when you go into an investigation or before you get on scene. And I was wondering if you could touch on that and tell some people about how you guys do your stuff.
Yeah, we do things very differently from everybody else. When you look, you know, when you see the TV reality shows, you know, they're pretty much carbon copies of each other.
True.
Everybody goes in and kind of does the same thing.
Yep.
I'm not really interested in photographs because photographs really don't tell us very much, especially in this day and age.
True.
Come on, a ghost photo is worth not 1,000 words, but 1,000 criticisms, and you created it, and, well, it's just camera anomaly. You know, it's an artifact of the camera. Plus, even let's say you get a picture, a full-blown apparition on the film, and let's say it's so clear that you can see exactly what this person looks like. What is it telling you? How do you know that spirit didn't just happen by at the moment you're taking the picture? How do you know if that's just some fantasy spirit that happened by? Does it tell you who it is, what their problem is, what's going on? No.
Nope.
No. You can get something on video if you're very lovely with the blue moon, and again, it's only going to tell you so much. Wow, there went a black shadow. Wow, that thing moved over there. It still doesn't tell you what the haunting's about, and you can't resolve an actual haunting unless you know the who, the why, and you have someone to communicate with. EVP is the only thing we have. Sadly, it's the only thing we have. There are a million people selling all kinds of fancy technical gadgets out there, which aren't, in my opinion, are not worth a dime.
Yes.
Some of them are so useless, and they're like all the, you know, those things like the obelisk and other things. They have a 3,000-word word bank, and they spit out things at random.
Yeah.
How can you rely on something like that?
Yeah.
How can you rely? The spirit box is even worse. They're picking up radio transmission. I'm sorry, but for me, that's not good enough.
No.
I want, no matter what a psychic says, no matter what a sensitive says, and I got five sensitives on my team, I want the EVP to back it up. And if I don't have the EVP to back it up, I'm not willing to go with it.
Yeah, the spirit box is big fun and entertaining for everybody,
right.
But it's not.
But to me, for the work I'm doing, it's useless because I can't be wrong. I can't make a mistake because then I lose a war. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's important. So it's not. I'm not just there looking for fun, hunting for ghosts to get something cool for my website. I'm there to try to figure out what's going on so I can help these people on both sides of the veil. So we go in. We don't, set up a million cameras and a million lights. I never took any photographs whatsoever until after all the EVP scans are over. Because fresh bulls drive spirits away. They don't eat the camera berries because they want that energy. That's ridiculous. That would be like you and me eating a sunflower seed because we were hungry.
Yeah.
Come on, it's not like that. What's it going to do for them? It's not even the right kind of energy. The reason they trash the camera is because they hate the flash. Because from where they are, in whatever dimension they're in, that light is assaulting. And I know this because EVP is telling me so. You know? So we don't do that. We go in, we sit down, and I talk to these people, the living people, the dead people there, just like I would visiting anybody. As we sit down, we tell our names. I'm Lori, this is so-and-so and so-and-so, whoever I have with me. We're here to talk to the spirits in the house. We're not here to harass you. We're not here to kick you out. Obviously, you're reaching out to these people, and we want to give you the opportunity to make the communication. That's why we're here. So we have these little boxes. There's one over here, one over there. It's got a red light. Go up and talk to the box. We can play it back and hear you. You're going to have to bear with us because we do have to run it back through the computer. We can't hear you in real time. And I explain to them in detail what we're doing and how. And 9 times out of 10, I will get that communication.
That's interesting that you go into that kind of detail for your EVP sessions because
yes, I do. Yes,
I do. It helps define things for entities that may or may not have a clue of what
you're talking about,
the verbiage you're using.
Exactly. And I try to explain it as simply as I can. And you know what's really funny? I think the whole way I get a kick out of this. I've had so many EVPs where the spirits refer to the little tape recorder as the phone. I've got one that was saying, hold the phone, hold the phone. And another one that says, they get on. They think it's a phone. Not all of them, but a lot of them refer to it as the phone. It's hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cute to me. I think it's very funny.
Have you found that most of the entities that you encounter are kind of stuck in this mind frame of not knowing what time?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. You know, there's so many people in this field that are operating literally in the dark ages with ideas that are so outdated, but nobody knows that because
sure.
They don't talk to people who've been doing this for 34 years. Okay?
Okay.
They're not lost. These spirits don't need to be crossed over. They know they're dead. They know what's going on.
Okay.
They're not lost. They're not stuck. They have free will just like we have. If they're in a place, it's because they want to be there. And they're right where they're allowed to be. And I've talked to so many spirits. I've talked to murder victims. There was a double murder in Clearwater, Florida. And I was asked to go out there, and I did. I always do those things. And I talked to these two individuals. And I said to them, I said, do you know who I am? Do you know why I'm here? And this is what they said. And I would have brought that EVP, but it's very low. It's hard to hear over the air. He said, yes, we're here in our new home, and you just came by to visit with us. And we asked about, what had happened. And he asked us a question. He said, did they find the other gun? And we were able to give him that information. No, they did not. And, he told us where this person had thrown this other gun. We had a lot of information. I work on a lot of murder cases. We get a lot of information. And it was a wonderful experience because these people, these two men, they were murdered, and they, you know, for a very bad reason. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. This person was actually after somebody else and killed them just because they were there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the person they were after wasn't even there. They crashed a party looking for someone, and they killed these other guys. And they said, you know, they were upset about it. Don't get me wrong. They were not happy about being murdered, but they were okay. You know, they said, no, it's okay, because, see, he died, too. The police shot the guy. They got him. He shot at the police, and they shot him down. And so they knew justice had already been served. But they weren't bitter. They weren't angry. They were very nice, you know, very hospitable, very talkative. And we even delivered a message for one of them to his mother. It was actually a very cool experience.
Have you, in your experience, found that most of the spirits are territorial?
People are territorial in this life, too. people in this life and the next. Most of the hauntings I see and that I come across are all based on human drama. Some of the reasons that people have been haunted are absolutely hysterical. Huh. I had one lady, this is so funny, her deceased mother-in-law was a Jehovah's Witness. And she's very upset because she started getting married this Christian girl. And they're celebrating Christmas, and they put up the Christmas tree. Right? You know, the Jehovah's Witness system, it's not a Christmas. Well, every other night, the tree would be dismantled, and those would be stacked neatly in the corner. And this really started to upset this woman, you know? And other things were happening in the house, and it was always directed at her. Well, we go down, and we spend two nights going down and talking with the spirits, and come to find out it was her mother-in-law. And she didn't like the whole Christmas thing. She didn't like the birthdays. She wanted her grandchildren to be raised as Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, wow.
And she was very upset that they weren't. Human drama. Just another family feud,
here
right?
Yep.
We had another case in Seminole where these people had lived in the house peaceably, never knew there were any spirits there until moved in with her girlfriend. The spirits there were of the old-fashioned mind and didn't like gay people.
Okay.
They resented the daughter and the girlfriend being there, and they made comments on the tape like, we're not gay and we don't want that here.
Huh.
It was hysterical. The whole haunting was because the gay couple had moved in. You see? People are the same in this life and the next. They've got their issues, they've got their opinions, and they still, especially if they can still consider it their house, their space.
Definitely.
You know, they don't understand what's going on there.
Hmm. Now, now, spirits of past people can be territorial. Have you ever run into territorial demonic possessions or...
No, I don't believe in demons. I mean, I've been a professional of business for almost 35 years. I've run into a lot of disgruntled spirits. I've run into a couple of very strange elemental spirits, but I have never encountered a demon.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe because I'm, you know, and I don't know. From what I've seen, the majority of people that hold with the whole demon theory are the Christians and the Catholics.
Sure.
I'm Jewish and Native American. So I don't, you know, I don't really subscribe to that whole theory. I don't believe in demonic possession. And I've never seen a demon, knock on wood. I hope I never do.
Sure.
But I know that a lot of people jump to that conclusion, religious views. You know, it's dark, it's black, it's a demon.
Yeah.
Anything that's causing that problem, only a demon can do that. No. Demons get credit for so many things that any human spirit can pull off.
Oh, that's a good point that you make right
it's
there.
It's true.
It is.
I think whatever you court, you bring to your door. If you believe in demons and you dwell on it and you have an interest in them, if they exist, maybe you'll attract them.
Then it'll manifest itself that way.
Yeah. Either that or it'll manifest your own thought form. It could be one or the other. And I think people are very opportunistic, and I mean, spirits are very opportunistic, and if you want to scare somebody out of your house, what better way than to have them think you're a demon?
Yeah.
If you know they're afraid of that, what are you going to do? You're going to growl? You're going to act like a demon?
You know, that's a good point that you brought up about the
different religious viewpoints, wanting to quick to judge.
Yeah, I'm a very God-fearing person.
Yeah,
Chip, I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. Totally. But I don't believe you take any specific religious belief into an investigation, because then you're wearing goggles.
Definitely.
You're looking at it through the lens, a biased lens, of whatever your particular religion dictates. And I just can't do that. And I've had so many of my beliefs blown out of the water via spirits and EVP, where I was like, wow, you know, that blew me away. I always believed that, and now I've been told that's totally not true, you know. And I've learned a lot, a lot. And I'm just not going to be that facetious as to assume that I know what the afterlife is and what the rules are over there, because we don't.
That is,
you know?
And that's something when you talked about earlier of, you know, when we asked, well, why did you get into this kind of thing? We have our own little investigative group here, Carolina Hauntings, Apparitions, and Poltergeist Society that we go to every second Thursday. It's coming up here this Thursday, actually. A little meeting.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, I've been on a few investigations with them. Twice in the same house and one at a theater over in Sanford, North Carolina. And the house that we go to is over in Creedmoor, North Carolina, just north of Raleigh, maybe about 25 minutes. And out of that house, when you mentioned the part about flash photography being an agitator or an instigator, that's something with our group that they've talked about, and what to do is not to provoke anything in there, right?
Exactly.
And when we were there at the house the second time around, there were a lot of people asking for the entity to touch them, you know, it's okay to touch me, and all that kind of stuff, right? And out of nowhere, the leader of the group, George, had his head knocked against a door jamb, you know, and it was...
Oh, nice.
It was like a room shaking, booming.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, and when I go back and I listen to that recording of the EVP session and I hear it, I'm like, my God, we sat there and pretty much asked for this to happen.
Oh, sure, of course. People do it all the time, especially novice ghost hunters do that. They want a reaction. They want something. They want some kind of response. And when they don't get it, they'll provoke to get it. I can't even tell you, years ago, I used to go out to help those teams that brought home something they couldn't handle. I stopped doing that 2 years ago. Now I'm like, nope, I'm not, no way. You know, you did it. You wanted to do it. You brought it on yourself, and I'll be able to. We stopped doing that, but I don't do it anymore. There's one team that did it twice in a row. They did the same exact thing two times in a row, and then they had the nerve to call me out the second time and ask me to help them again, and I said no.
Yeah.
You know, I told you not to do this, you did it, now deal with it.
Yeah, it's your baby to burp at this point when you screw it up twice, right?
You don't antagonize once and provoke, and then get upset when they take you up on it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that we didn't really realize when we were doing that. And of course, you know, we're doing the flash photography and all that kind of stuff. And that stuff, the parameters for the EVP that you were talking about is something I definitely want to try to bring up.
If you start doing flash photography, I can guarantee you you're not going to get EVPs. It's just not going to happen, because they're going to leave. They're going to leave the scene immediately. Rather, they're going to blow up all your cameras and then be very ticked off.
Yeah, that's something that that exactly is what happened every time we did a lot of flash photography. We didn't get EVPs. I got...
Oh, yeah.
The only time I think I got an EVP was in the room the time his head got put slammed back against the wall.
Do you know what the EVP said?
It was like a high-pitched squeal kind of noise that said Terry, and it was one of the women in the room's name.
Yeah.
And
we had
a
We had an interesting EVP that came right before an attack and right after an attack. I was at a case up in Elvis, Florida, and one of my newer team members, who didn't know enough not to do this, they were outside, and what we were doing, one of my other team members, one of my veterans, he was there with the client, and he was setting up a stealth cam because the client kept saying that something was turning on the motion sensor light, and I said, it's an animal. It's a moth. It's an animal. It's not a ghost, right? So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll solve this problem for you. I have a stealth cam. I'll set it out there tonight while we're here, which we did.
Yep.
So my buddy was out setting up the stealth cam, and the other guy was walking around, and he had a tape recorder, and he had a little, what do you call it, the thermometer, temperature gauge.
Yep.
Well, he saw somebody on the other side of the property. It's a big piece of property. It's dark. And he saw a large man with what appeared to be a cigarette, because you could see the glowing little red ember. Now, he assumed it was David. David's one of our team members. And he figured it was David, and he looked on the other side to smoke a cigarette. So he called out to him, and he said, Dave, is that you? Well, it wasn't David. David was setting up the camera, and he hollered back from behind him, no, I'm over here. So he said, well, who is that? Well, he started to charge at this person across the yard, right?
Yeah.
He wanted to see who was there. And he thought it was a living person. So he's going over there, and he starts running, picking up a little speed. And he gets closer, and he realizes that this is not a living person, because the shadow man in the dark, who he thought was Dave, moves and goes past a tree, and you could see the tree through the man. So now he's like, whoa. So now he's excited, extremely excited. So he starts to book it towards this ghost, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the next thing you hear a voice, a male voice, and it says, back off. And our team member, George, you hear him go, ow! You hear David yell, what happened? And he says, something hit me in the head, right? Well, then you hear the ghost, and he goes, I told you to leave me alone.
Wow.
So, no, I told you to back off. I told you to back off. So David brings him right in the house because he's very concerned. You know, anytime anyone gets hurt, I want to know about it. He knows that. So he brings him in the house, and he's got a buzz cut. You know how the guys have the buzz cut where you can see their scalp?
Yeah.
And on the back of his head, he's got this big egg, and it's red, and it has burn blisters all over it, which is what happens when a ghost hits you. It looks like a second-degree burn. But he's got a swelling. He's got a nice lump, too. It was terrible. There's pictures of it at my website.
Yes,
so I said to him, what did you do? And he tells me the whole story. And I said, never, never, never run after a ghost. And never approach them by yourself. Did you not read the manual? You know, if you're not listening, never stand at the top of the stairs unsupported and all this other stuff. And he says, no, but I do now. And I won't be doing that again. It was funny.
I had a question out of the chat room. Was wondering why there's a burn that comes along with the interaction.
I would like to know that myself. I really wish I had the answer for that one, Chip. I don't know what to make of that. But I know it happens every time.
For sure.
Almost every time. Almost every time it happens.
It's just
I had burns on me from that ghost in New Jersey, how I was so familiar with it, you know?
Yeah, when you saw
and,
it.
And my team members have gotten hurt before. This is not a first.
Okay.
It's the risk you take when you walk into a hostile haunt case.
Huh. You know, that's something I never
you
thought
can get
to check
clobbered.
On George.
It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
But it does happen. And George is fine. And you know what? It takes the same amount of time to heal as a burn. The swelling went down in 24 hours, but the actual red burn mark took just as long as a normal burn would take. In fact, he was putting aloe on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know why that happens. I wish I could answer that for you.
Hmm. You want to talk about your book, Never Forever Dead, for everybody?
Yeah. Never Forever Dead is about hostile hauntings. I wrote that book, and it came out back in 2009. I'm writing another one right now called Bringing the Paranormal Field Out of the Dark Ages. It's going to be a lot more involved and more informative than Never Forever Dead. And it's a sequel to Never Forever Dead, more or less.
Okay.
But I've learned so much, and I want to share it with people. And that's very hard to do in this field.
Sure.
Because there are so many type A personalities and big egos in this field that don't want to listen to anybody.
Yes.
Because if they didn't discover it, it's not right, or it's not
real. That's correct, yeah.
And then you have the big issue with the skeptics and the believers. You know, the skeptics, no proof is ever enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the believer, no proof is necessary.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own opinions, and everybody views the whole thing through their own lens of their religious ideas and their ideas of what Mother Culture has taught us, what we've been conditioned to think and believe. Then we have the New Age medium circle who think every ghost needs to be crossed over and that they need us to do that, which I also disagree with. And, you know, we're still using terms that are outdated and ideas that are outdated and still promoting them everywhere. And we wonder why the field isn't moving forward, because we're not willing to let go of some of the things that we've been told to believe for years, you know?
I love that quote of yours, that no evidence is enough for a skeptic and none is needed for a believer. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So in this field, you know, you've got a definitely two-party system here.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
got the skeptics and the believers, and then the people who sit the fence. Those are the people who say, well, I don't know what it is. I want to find out. But all of them, you know, have their own ideas at the end of the day. And, you know, they kind of want to cling to those ideas. You know, old ideas die hard.
How do you have a lot, how do you help, or how do you tell people, I don't even know how to phrase it that way because I don't want to put words in your mouth or...
No, go ahead, whatever.
Kind of like, yeah, rehash it for me, would you? You know?
Yeah.
Like, after you've done your investigation... At a location with...
Well, I do things differently. I've got less explaining to do because the way I do things, I don't sit there... We bug every room in the house because one thing I've learned, if they won't talk to you, they will talk about you.
Okay.
And that still gives you the information you need. You know, how many male, female, what their attitude is, you know.
Okay.
But what I do is I sit down with the people that live there.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the EVP session. And I do it for 15 minutes at a time. And then I play it back through the computer. And if we can't hear them, I boost them up, I clean them a little bit so we can make out what's being said. So the client is hearing the EVPs as they come in. So they know I'm not making it up. They know I'm not putting it on the tape. They know that voice was not there because they were there.
Yeah.
They know everything that was...
Yep.
They hear it for themselves. So it's not just we're going in there with a psychic medium that says, oh, your ghost is named Seymour, you know.
Yeah.
And he was a predator, and he's doing this and that. No. What good does that do for anyone? I'm a real stickler for getting to the truth. I want to know what's really going on. And I'm not even willing to trust my intuition. I want that evidence. And I want it to be clear enough so that everybody can hear it and everybody knows what's happening. This way, you know, we're being upfront with the client from get-go. And then... I'll ask questions, and the client will give me information. And between that and the EVPs, sometimes we're able to piece together what's going on. And then sometimes eventually the spirit themselves will tell us what the problem is, you know?
Definitely.
And a lot of times people are terrified because they think they have this mean ghost. And it's really like their grandma who's just so ticked off because they're not paying attention that she's throwing crap across the room, you know? It's hysterical. And then they hear the voice and they're like, oh my God, it's my grandmother. I said, yeah, so what are you so scared of? Let's regroup here.
Yeah.
Find out what it is she wants you to know and why she's ticked off. You know?
That's another good point you bring up. Do you find that a lot of the lusts that you go in on are family members?
Yeah, quite often. Or people that the peak client knew. For every case we get called where people are telling us they have a hostile haunting, I would say maybe 1 out of 9 is actually a hostile haunting. And out of that 1 out of 9, there's usually a damn good reason for that hostility. I've been to so many karmic haunts where the client doesn't tell you things because they don't want you to know they did something wrong.
Yeah.
And then you get there and the ghost tells you, you know, okay, well, they did this to me, or they did this to my grandson, or, you know, and you're like, wow, why didn't you tell me about this? And the person's eyes are as big as saucers.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we're still alive, they're dead, they shouldn't be able to do this to us. Well, really? Who said that?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know all God's rules. You know, you need to make restitution for whatever it is you did that is causing this, you know?
That's for sure.
But most hostile hauntings, what people perceive as hostile, it's because they're afraid. They're scared. You know, when an ashtray sails across the room, people tend to panic. You know?
That's for sure. That is for sure. Yeah, and a lot of people, I'm sure, will talk about how, well, a drawer was left open or something was put on the floor in the morning when I got there.
Exactly. And they flip
hostile.
Out.
You know?
They flip out. And some people think everything's hostile. You know, just the fact that the spirit's there and they're opening and closing the door, or they saw something, you know, or something moved or whatever, it must be, you know, it must be an attack of some kind because it's a spirit. We all know they're spooky and scary and shouldn't be messing with us.
Do you ever help people get rid of spirits in their home?
Yes. Yes. But most of the time, most hauntings cannot be cleansed. They have to be resolved. The only haunting that can be cleansed, i.e. you go in and actually, you know, call on a higher power to do away with this situation, is it something that's truly evil. Something that's truly evil and has malintent and is there just to cause pain. There's a fine line between what we consider evil and what is considered evil in the big scheme of things. You're not going to be able to pray away something that's just disgruntled.
Yeah.
Any way that you can pray away your disgruntled living neighbor next door who drives you nuts. Okay? He has just as much right to look pain in the ass as you do. So there's a fine line, you know. In the movies and stuff, the priest comes in and says, oh, foul spirit be gone, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not that easy. I wish it was. And there are some hauntings never, ever be resolved because the spirit's not evil, but they have no intention of leaving. And God gave us free will in this life and the next. You know? So no, not every case is going to be resolved, but most of them can be because most hauntings are perpetuated by human spirits. And usually you can wheel and deal and reason and compromise with human beings most of the time. And usually when a haunting starts up, there's always a reason. Always. And if you can get to that reason, then you have room for negotiation, right?
That's right. You know what it wants. You got a little leg room there.
Exactly. And once they see that you're willing to work with them and you have concern for their feelings and stop treating them like some demon from hell, they're more willing to work with you.
That's probably got to piss a lot of them off right there, is to be misidentified.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, especially when it's grandma.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see. You know what's really funny? I've covered so many cases where it's a relative haunting, and let me tell you a little secret that's so funny. The majority of cases, because I'm one of these people, I keep records of ridiculous trivia with paranormal.
Sure.
I keep records. I have hostile haunts profiles because I've kept a record of what happens. But one of the relatives that haunts the most is grandma. The grandmothers, I guess, love survives death totally. And they have so much concern, and they're so interested in what's going on with their families, the matriarch, you know? And they'll be the first one to show up and let you know when they don't approve of what you're doing. They come to see every new baby. They come to interfere in your life, just like they did in life.
Hmm.
More people are haunted by grandmother spirits than any other relative.
Really?
Yeah. I find it hilarious. Hmm. Absolutely hilarious.
Do you think it's... Well,
that's why I tell everybody, you know, just be careful in life. Never piss off grandma. Not even after she's gone.
There you go. Do you think that at some point most deceased relatives will come back?
Oh, yeah. I think they can come back and check up on us whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what's going on with us. You know, God is actually very loving because he allows us to see what's going on with our loved ones. It's not like we die and we never see them again and we never know what's going on, you know? They get to see every wedding. They get to see every baby. is really amazing. I had one case which really just knocked my socks off, made me cry. It was about 6 months ago. It was actually one of my son's teachers from school. She had just had a baby. And the baby was about 7 months old, 8 months old. Big enough to coo and, you know, sit out and do all that cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, she kept hearing something on the baby monitor, and cooing and carrying on with someone. Hmm. She didn't know, and she couldn't see. And it really started to drive her nuts. And, you know, things would move, and she was getting really, really uncomfortable. And this woman is not a scaredy cat. She's not somebody who dwells on that stuff, you know. She's a school teacher, very level-headed, very educated lady. So we went over there, and we got the EVPs on the recorder with the baby there. When the baby was reaching out and cooing and reaching out to somebody, she was holding the baby. The baby was reaching out to thin air. And when you play the tape back, you hear, "That's right, it's Grandma, and I love you. I love you. We just died." And we started talking to Grandma, and this girl was so excited because she got to talk to her deceased mother. And it was amazing. It was the most moving case I think I've ever been to. You know? And some of the EVPs let us know that this lady had been there from the day that baby was born, off and on. She knew things, you know? She mentioned one present in particular that the baby had received from her other daughter at the, you know, at the christening. It was amazing. And when we left, everybody was so happy and everybody felt so good. It was just a great experience, you know?
Very nice experience to have.
It was awesome.
Happen. Be able to take part in events in someone's life, even though they aren't alive, you know, that's always good.
Yeah, we don't die. Bottom line, we don't die.
That's a good point you bring up there, too. Do you believe in any kind of, like, reincarnation?
No, actually, I believe in reincarnation only in certain instances, under specific circumstances. I don't believe we all have, you know, two or three past lives like some people do. Because of things I've learned over the years from spirits. And also, I've done a lot of reading. I've read just about everything concerning that subject. And I have to say, I believe it happens only under specific circumstances.
Okay, there you go. Someone had a question in their chat room. Let's see if we can shoot it real quick. Oh, talking about... do you see more hauntings in homes with teenagers than ones without?
Not really. I've seen more hostile hauntings in homes with teenagers than without. And I think the simple reason is I think that sometimes malevolent spirits actually feed off of the energy that teenagers create. Teenagers, as a rule, are at the most emotional time in their life.
Sure.
And they create a lot of emotional energy. But I don't think teenagers start on things. I don't think they attract them so much. So, no. I have at my website somewhere, there's a Hostile Haunts profile article. And it tells, like, I took so many cases over a period of years, and I compared them to see what they all had in common for actual, really hostile haunts. I'm not talking grandma. I'm talking a really angry, malevolent spirit haunting. And it'll show you all the statistics there. Like I said, I'm an obsessive compulsive record keeper.
Well, with 35 years of statistics gathered, you know, that's a hell of a resource
yeah.
that you have, and your website is a hell of a place to
yeah.
host a lot of resources, you know, for
well,
people to
look at. Well,
that's
why I put it up there. I put it up there for people. Because there's so many paranormal websites, but very few of them have any real documented information to offer. Most of them are just, you know, promoting ghost tours and putting up pictures and posting famous ghost pictures and cemetery investigations and, you know, I don't bother with any of that. I'm trying to educate people as much as I can.
And
that's what little
that
I have to go on.
That seems to be the crux of a lot of the, like your paranormal investigators.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. is that a lot of things very territorial, very proprietary, very pay me $75 to $250 to go on a haunting and, you know, go on an investigation with 50 of your closest friends, you know.
Exactly.
And then thank me lady.
Exactly.
And then thank me later, and maybe I'll sign a T-shirt and a little
card. I have no interest in any of that. I've turned down 4 television shows over the past 3 years. I want no part of the circus. None.
There you go. Last 5 minutes here. Can you tell us what your most latest investigation is looking like for you?
My latest investigation I went on 2 weeks ago. It was actually very interesting. I went to a 100-year-old building in Tarpon Springs in the historic section. This building used to be a theater at one time and a hotel at one time. Now it has storefronts at the bottom and apartments upstairs, you know, where the hotel was. And it was actually blown out of proportion. It was not a real bad. It wasn't even what I considered to be a haunting. I think the couple, the young couple that lived there, the girl was just afraid of ghosts, and the guy was very interested in the paranormal. But we did get EVPs because spirits seem to talk to me wherever I go. And we did get some information, and the conglomeration of spirits that are hanging out in that building, there's 100 years worth. But the weird thing is when you walk down the hall and you get to this one area, the energy is so overwhelming that you feel like you're on a ship. You get pressure in the back of your head, you get dizzy, you get disoriented, you feel like you can't breathe. One of my team members said to me he thought he was going to pitch head first down the stairs. He was so disoriented. We actually had to leave and go outside to compose ourselves before we could go back in to take pictures. But when you get into the actual apartment, the energy's gone. So they're hanging out in the apartments. They're hanging out in the empty apartments, in the empty apartments and in the hallway, especially this one hallway. It's just overwhelming. I've felt that energy before, but I have never in all of my days felt it to that degree, ever. I thought I was going to have a stroke, you know?
Nice.
And it wasn't sick building syndrome. It wasn't shorts and, you know, I know everybody relies on the EMF meters for everything. I don't care very much about those either. They're going to show you if the place is a fear cage, you know, from electrical sources and things of that nature.
Sure.
But they're not going to tell you if there's a ghost there. Because I've been on investigations with other people who've got, you know, the walls lined with the EMF meters, and I'm getting EVPs right and left, and those meters aren't going off.
I like to use the Ghost Radar app for the iPhone.
Really?
If I'm going to use gimmicky things, you know.
It frustrates me to no end that he actually uses that.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't going to say anything, Nicole. Yeah.
It's retarded.
Know it is.
Whatever.
I just like to pull it out every once in a while for shits and giggles, you know.
Yeah.
I like to show people, they'll be like, ooh, what's that? And I'm like,
no,
oh,
I don't rely on any of that stuff. I think it's hokey.
Oh, yeah. You know, you don't know any better and say, oh, this thing.
Well you know, we live in the electronic age. I think you could sell an app for just about anything nowadays.
That's for sure. That is for sure. Well, we've got 2 minutes left here, Lori. Go ahead and shoot out your websites and your book and where everybody can find Never Forever Dead. And
yes, you can find Never Forever Dead right at my website. All you have to do is, like I said, go to any Google page, any search engine anywhere, whether it's House to House Specialist, and your results will show home, Pinellas Pasco, right on the top of the first page. And there'll be like 7 or 8 pages after that, because we've been around a very long time and we've been on just about everywhere.
Nice. You got a nice nice name there and got in early on it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. You know what? Nicole, you got anything for us or no?
No. Who do we got on next week?
Next week we have one of our favorite shows where it's just us jibber-jabbering about current events, and you get to tell me how stupid I am.
Lame.
Oh, that's not good. It's fun bad.
All right. Thank you so much, Lori. I love that you
Thank
shared
you, Nicole.
Those EVPs with us. I know our
It was great talking to you guys.
Those.
You're a very amusing lady. You've had me laughing through this whole show.
Very good. I'm glad I'm good for something. Anyway, have a wonderful week. And
You too, sweetheart.
We'll talk to you all next week.
All right.
Very much.
Bye-bye.
And, we'll see you next week at 9 p.m. Eastern, Monday night, as usual. Same bat time. Take us away, Joe, if you're still awake.
This program contains strong adult language, violence, and brief nudity. It's